So glad you are able to join us today for Manage Your Money God's Way. We're presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal at the ministry is to teach you how to rid yourself of your debt. No matter if you make a little bit of money or a lot of money, or no matter if your debt is small or even large, we've worked with a number of couples whose debt is substantial, and yes, it may take a few years to rid yourself of that debt, but the feeling that you get seeing that balance decrease month after month after month just motivates you to keep going. And once you've hit zero, we'll then begin to show you how you can live a totally debt-free life. Learn more how we can assist you at CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me in the studio are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Each week, you hear us during our podcast discuss our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. We thought, you know, what we should do is do kind of an overview. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to give you a thumbnail overview of that Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And we hope that it will inspire you to do something to rid yourself of your debt. Whether you take the study alone, if you're married, you take it with your spouse. We have a lot of people who invite friends and family over to the house, or they bring it into the parish to share this information with everybody. So today's show, we're going to take a look at weeks 1 through 3. But first, Evelyn, how about if you give us kind of an overview of that Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way?
This study is done in a small group with no more than 12 people, including two facilitators, and it meets for 2 hours each week for 9 weeks. And prior to the first meeting of the Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study, the participants read the book, Your Money Counts. And you can get a free ebook copy of Your Money Counts by going to CompassCatholic.org and clicking on the store link.
During week one, we set the stage to do introductions so the people of the small group get to know each other. The purpose of the study is to help people become better stewards of the blessings that God has given them, whether it's a little bit or a lot. And we start off week two now. This is called God's Part, Our Part. We're looking at what our role is and what God's role is as it deals with our finances.
So as far as God's part goes, we teach that God owns everything. In Deuteronomy 10:14, we hear the verse, "Look, the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, as well as the earth and everything on it."
And in Psalms 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that it holds, the world and those who dwell in it." And the Bible even mentions specific things that God owns. In Psalms 50, it says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, beast by the thousands on my mountains. I know every bird in the heights, whatever moves in the wild is mine."
And in Haggai 2:8, we hear, "Mine is the silver and mine is the gold." So even the Bible tells us specific items that the Lord owns, and he does own everything. He never transferred ownership to us.
Think about in the first book of Genesis, and if you get, you know, it starts out, and we listen to it over the Easter services, starts out day by day by day. And on the sixth day, verse 28, God created man and woman and blessed them and told them that they had dominion over the earth. Now, he didn't give us ownership. He gave us dominion, which is defined as controlling power, not ownership.
And in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, we hear Jesus say that none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you have. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying that we have to sell all our possessions. The problem is that we tend to give our stuff and our possessions and all the material goods we have an importance it doesn't deserve. And all of our reverence should really be directed toward God, not to all the stuff we're surrounded with.
It's like the parable of the rich young man. You know, he told him to go away, sell all his stuff, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And the rich young man, he had a whole lot. And he couldn't go sell it because his attitude prevented him from getting rid of his stuff because he placed a higher value on his stuff than he did on God.
He thought he was the owner.
That's right. So in order to make this reality in your life, now we're talking about God's part, our part here in chapter 2 of navigating your finances God's way. The verse that you could meditate on is 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, and you are king, supreme ruler over all. All riches and wealth come from you. You rule everything by your power.
You know, one of the really nice practical suggestions that we've heard come out of this Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study is using non-personal pronouns when we're talking about things. So instead of saying my car, we would use the term the car or the Honda or the whatever it is. So that kind of takes that personal ownership mindset out of referring to possessions that we are using that God gave us.
You know, I think it goes back, Evelyn, to the first words we learn as a baby.
Mama, Dada?
Mama, Dada, mine. Every little kid is saying, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, especially if there's another little kid around.
That's right.
Got to get rid of that mine attitude. Realize that all of our possessions are just stuff, and we have to get over the desire to be a stuffaholic.
I like that term, stuffaholic. You know, I think the other big difference in this Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study is that we need to learn to discern between needs and wants. A lot of times we use the word need when we really mean we want something.
So needs are going to be basic food, clothing, and shelter. And wants, that's going to be stuff that you want. I mean, we all want stuff. It would be nice to have. Those are wants. And we've got to focus on our needs. Food, clothing, shelter.
Now, that doesn't mean we can't have any of our wants. It just means that they need to take a secondary importance.
They're not necessary for our life.
Life.
Yeah, yeah. In Philippians 4:19, we hear what God says, why, my God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We should stop worrying and focusing on the material things in our lives and focus on Jesus and the kingdom of heaven.
You know, one of the things that I think convicted both of us when we were taking the Navigating Your Finances God's Way material in the beginning was our role as a steward. Especially for you, I don't think you really thought of it that way.
I was the owner. There was no stewardship involved.
But yet a steward is simply a manager of someone else's possessions, and the Lord has given us the authority to be his stewards over the items that he's blessed us with.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it really sums up what we're trying to say here. Now it is of course required of stewards that they be found trustworthy.
So that almost makes it seem like when we get to heaven and St. Peter's letting us in the pearly gates, he's going to test us to see if we've been good stewards.
Well, we do have to make an accountability.
And part of that is probably our stewardship.
I would think so. You know, the Catechism provides a lot of answers about stewardship. And one of them says that safeguarding material and human resources and using them responsibly is one answer. Another one is generous giving of time, talent, and treasure. But being a Christian steward means more. As Christian stewards, we receive God's gifts gratefully, cultivate them responsibly, share them lovingly in justice with others, and return them with increase to the Lord. And you know, if this mindset is foreign to you, don't be discouraged. It takes time and lots of prayer and to change what our secular ideas are, what our secular society tells us, and to realize what is important from God's perspective. That's what it's all about. Now, we're talking here about what's God's part and our part in the chapter 2 of Navigating Your Finances God's Way.
You know, I think if we look at our lives and really discern where we are, it's very easy to see where we have not been faithful. But don't get discouraged. Just remember God still loves you, and your job is to work on getting better and being totally faithful. That's all he's asking you to do, is just to understand it and become more faithful day by day. Just like that song from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, day by day.
So, you know, we're supposed to be faithful regardless of how much God entrusts to us.
And or whether, how little.
Or, you know, whether it's a fortune or a handful of coins. Someone once said, I don't know who said this, but it's not what I would do if $1 million were my lot. It's what I am going to do with the $10 I have. We're supposed to be faithful in every area.
And a lot of that comes down to being faithful with all of the money that God's given us. And unfortunately, most times in the Catholic Church, when we talk about money, we're only talking about the area of giving. And most Catholics have not been faithful or haven't been taught how to handle their money, or should I say God's money, in a faithful manner. And as a result, we have developed flawed attitudes towards money and possessions because we're following what our society tells us. And because of that, a lot of us make bad decisions.
Really bad decisions in some cases. So Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are doomed because they have not acknowledged me." So this message and the Navigating Your Finances God's Way is for everyone. Doesn't matter if you have lots of money or hardly any at all, whether you've got lots of debt or you really don't have any debt at all. And it doesn't matter if you're married or you're single, if you're young or old or male or female, money and possessions are just stuff. They are tools for our existence.
The first benefit of handling money faithfully is having a more personal relationship with Jesus. And the second benefit is that it gives God more opportunity to develop our character. You know, Pope Francis recently tweeted that seeking happiness in material things is a sure way of being unhappy. So once we get our focus out of order and we focus on material things, it can sometimes take away our focus on God.
And it's so easy to get our focus out of order. Just watch the TV, look at the internet, read a newspaper or a magazine. Every single page, it seems like, is just slammed full of advertising telling us how we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Because we haven't bought the next big, fanciest whatever.
Exactly. We should be focused on more, better, significant, you know, wealth, power, prosperity. That's what society is teaching us.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, and today we're beginning a 4-week series that's taking you through kind of an overview of our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of the ministry, are the guides. My name is Steve Holbrook, along for the ride. And week one is kind of an introduction into the Bible study, a discussion on the book that we would like you to read before the classes begin. The book is called Your Money Counts. And in week one, we kind of discuss that book. You can read that book 2-3 days tops. Week two explains God's part in our finances. Remember, God owns everything. We are stewards of the gifts that he's provided us. And week three is the part that we play in our finances. So Evelyn, we just went through the first two of the three benefits of taking this Bible study. What would be that third benefit?
The third benefit of the Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study is that your finances are going to be in order. And one of the ways we do that is that we ask the participants in the Bible study to start tracking every penny they spend.
That's so important, Evelyn, because people don't really understand how much they're spending. And until they do, they can't make smart decisions.
Well, and the other thing I want to make sure people hear is the fact that nobody sees your personal finances except for you. This is all for your benefit. We're not going to have anybody that's in the small group looking at your money.
Well, nobody cares how much money you're spending for X, Y, or Z. They got their own problems. They can't be bothered with your problems, okay?
That's a good point, John.
Yeah. So when you start tracking every single penny, then you will begin to realize where your money's going, and you'll be able to make fact-based decisions.
So talk a little bit about fact-based decisions. What do you mean by that?
If you're spending $5 a day for a high-priced coffee, that would be $25 a week because you're going past the store on the way to work. Okay, that's $100 a month, $1,200 a year.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
Do you really want to spend $1,200 a year on coffee in the morning? If you're tracking the daily cost, then you can track and calculate the yearly cost. And it gives you the opportunity to decide if that's where you really want to spend your money. Do you want to spend $1,200 a year buying coffee, or would you rather spend $1,200 and take a family vacation?
Good point, John. Good point. Let's talk about week three in the Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible Study. Week three is all about debt, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And Scripture doesn't call debt a sin, but it does strongly discourage us from being in debt.
You know, you can start out with Proverbs 22:7, which says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender."
So the dictionary defines debt as money that a person is obligated to pay another. So that includes all kinds of different things. It's bank loans, money borrowed from good old Uncle Fred, the home mortgage, money you owe on credit card companies, any past due bills. But any bills that come due each month, such as the electric bill or the cable bill, are not considered debt if they're paid on time, true?
So those are the bills that you get every single month. And as long as you pay them every single month, then it's not a debt. Even your credit card, listen to this carefully, even your credit card is not a debt if you pay it off every single month.
In full.
In full. Soon as you get your bill.
Not just the
within the
minimum payment.
Grace period.
Yeah, but not just the minimum payment. The whole
not
entire
the minimum
balance.
Payment. That's right.
What does the Bible have to say about debt?
Well, it says we're a slave to the lender. And the deeper in debt, the more like slaves we become. Nobody has the freedom to decide where to spend their money if they're already obligated to make debt payments. And that's an important distinction.
In the Bible, debt was considered a curse, and in the Old Testament, being out of debt was one of the promised rewards for obedience. And the verse from Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2 and 12 read, "When you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you. You will lend to many nations and borrow from none."
On the other hand, debt was listed among the curses for disobedience. In Deuteronomy 28, it tells us, "If you do not hearken to the voice of the Lord, the alien residing among you will lend to you, not you to him. He will come to the head, you to the tail."
In God's view, then, being in debt moves you from the head position to the tail end.
From the tail end, absolutely. And so we're talking about debt, chapter 3, in Navigating Your Finances God's Way.
You know, that verse you were reading about the alien will lend to you, not you to him, reminds me of so much of the American debt that we owe to different countries now because of our national debt.
Yes.
It just reminds me of our current situation, even though it was written in Old Testament times.
I thought you felt like we owed money to the Martians or something.
No, I think we owe money to the Chinese, don't we? Which might be just as bad.
So debt will presume on tomorrow. When we get into debt, we're assuming that we're going to earn enough in the future to repay it. Can you really assume such a thing? You know, we plan to do our jobs and we plan for them to continue forever. And all of our investments will be profitable. We know jobs don't last forever. And just watch the stock market. Look at the results just this year. And up and down and up and down and up and down. You have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, we also don't know when those emergencies are going to come up or when there's going to be a big blip in our financial future. So we can't presume upon tomorrow financially.
Yeah, the Bible really strongly says that we shouldn't make that presumption. You who say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business, and make a profit. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that. And that comes from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15.
You know, the other thing I think that people often ignore when they're in debt is the amount of money that they pay in interest. And that brings to mind a verse from Sirach. It's chapter 20, verse 11. A man may buy much for little, but pay for it seven times over.
I love Sirach.
I do too. Reminds me a lot of Proverbs. So the average American household with credit card debt carries a balance of about $16,000. So what is the average interest rate on that $16,000, John?
The average interest rate could be anywhere from 13 to 23%. But I think I was reading something just last week, and the current average interest rate is just below 16%. It's like 15.9. If you really sat down and worked the numbers.
So I can't do the math in my head. What does that equate to as far as interest? What are people paying in interest if they've got $16,000 worth of debt?
Again, depending on what the interest rate is, they're going to pay between $2,000 and, I don't know, $3,600 just in interest alone. That's borrowing money that you're just throwing away. It's just really frustrating. And whatever you bought on credit, by the time you get it totally paid off and get all the interest paid off, is probably it's lost, it's used up, or it's no longer valid by the time you get the credit card paid off.
You know, how many couples have we counseled over the years that have raised their standard of living through debt only to discover that debt then controls their standard of living?
Yeah, and you know, the question really is, does debt really improve or raise your standard of living?
The stuff you bought with the debt.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I would say 90% of what you buy on credit cards, you could probably do without. It gets back to that wants versus needs discussion we had earlier.
If you can't pay cash, you know, if you're not paying that credit card off at the end of the month, that's just so important. That you get that card, whatever the bill is, paid at the end of every month.
You know, I was reading a Nerd Wallet survey, and it said that 41% of the respondents to their survey said that their debt was caused by spending more than they could afford on unnecessary purchases. So that, again, gets back to that wants versus needs. It's so easy to whip out that plastic card and pay for whatever it is that catches your eye and not stop and think about whether it's really a valid purchase that you need to make or if it's just something you want and can do without.
You know, I was reading an article this morning, and it was talking about, it was kind of like going on a diet from clothes. And the people were living on for like 10 days or 2 weeks, and they would pick out maybe 15 items of clothing. And that's the only thing that they could wear during those 10 or 15 days was those items that they picked out. They had to push everything back in the corner of the closet. It's amazing how many people, when they did that, really realized that they had way, way too many clothes.
Well, it gets back to when you travel, too. I mean, you're always light, you know, on the clothes you take with you when you travel. So how do people tackle all the debt, John? You want to give us the formula for tackling and paying off your debt?
Let's talk about what the debt is, first of all. That's past due bills, credit cards, student loans, car loans, loans from relatives. You know, you want to make a list of this, including the lender, the total amount, the monthly payment, interest rate, and when it's going to be paid off. And then you have to take it to prayer. If you have any past due bills, pay off the past due bills first. It's really important to quit using your credit card, or you're just you're just going to be going in circles.
So after you pay off the past due bills, the next thing would be to tackle the smallest debt, the smallest credit card you have first. And we recommend doing it that way so that you can stay motivated.
You know, in reality, if you've got credit card debt, it's past due.
That's true. That's a good one. But if the electricity is going to get turned off, you really need to pay the electric bill first.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's only one step, you know, get the plastic paid off, and then you can begin to tackle the rest of your debt, your car loan, your student loan, consumer loans, and the mortgage. But you will never really, truly understand what a blessing it is of being debt-free, the freedom and the sense of perspective that it gives you when you are debt-free. And that's something that you should be striving for. And believe me, it is possible.
It is very possible to rid yourself of your debt, even if you think there's no way that's going to happen. John and Evelyn are living proof of the fact they spent a number of years ridding themselves of all of their debt. If you'd like to take a tour on your own of weeks 1 through 3, go to compasscatholic.org. Click on books and studies. You want Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Then click on participants. We have a breakdown of each week, and you'll see in each week we have videos of that week, tools that are there to help you organize your budget, your spending plan, plus audio notes for each week also available. As I mentioned, today is the start of a 4-week series. We're going to take you through all 9 weeks of the Bible study, a few of the chapters at a time. And if you missed any of today's show or you'd like to share it with a friend or family member, go to compasscatholic.org and scroll down and you will see podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, we post a new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.